Ted Brewer Show along with Austin Brewer. We're going to have a lot of information for you guys tonight, so I want everybody to grab a sheet of paper and pencil. But I'm going to kind of tease you with something for just a second. I don't normally do a big tease on our show, but next Sunday night, I'm going to be solo because Austin's not going to be here. Since Sunday night is probably the biggest night we have, though our weekend, our weekday listeners have gotten really huge too. I'm going to go back into detail on what I talked about on Doug Hagman's show back last month, but I've got a bunch more information about Morgellons and cell towers and HARP and everything else that I want to share with you guys. I'm going to be going into detail on how they're actually setting up the global matrix on this and why they're not using the HARP-based system in Alaska like they were using it, and how they've gone in now and they've set up all these cell towers, which are all licensed to the federal government. And according to documents leaked to their Spiegel magazine, the NSA sells a $40,000 active GSM base station to be used as a tool to mimic a mobile phone tower and thus monitor cell phones. They're doing it through the monitoring and the use of cell phones. Plus, they're also using the Gwen Towers, which are known as the Ground Wave Emergency Network. There was about 300 of them. I don't know how many are still in advance or still there. And what that was a command and control communication that's still active, intended for use by the United States government to facilitate military communications before and during and after a nuclear war. They also can emit low-frequency energy and pulses. In addition to that, they're also using NEXRAD systems, which are the Doppler radars. There's about 160 of those now that are all licensed through the federal government all over the country that can put out tremendous amounts of radar waves and do all types of things to the atmosphere. And so we're going to talk about that in detail. But my most favorite one that we never even mentioned on the Hagman Show the last time, because we simply ran out of time, is the sea-based band radar. They're called the SBX sea-based radar domes. You look all this stuff up on Wikipedia. I'm not trying to make this stuff up as I go. The sea-based X-band radar, the SBX-1, is a floating, self-propelled, mobile-active, electronically scanned array early warning radar system designed to operate at high winds and heavy seas. It was developed as part of the Missile Defense Agency's ballistic missile defense system. I don't even know how many of these things are floating around out there. I don't see any information of that. It's probably classified. Let me tell you the size of this thing. This thing's 116 meters long, okay? That's like 330, that's like almost 400 feet long. The vessel height is 279 feet tall from keel to the top of the radome. This thing is so big it drafts 10 meters of water, and unbelievable, it costs almost $1 billion to manufacture one of these things, and I don't know, because it's not saying how many of these things they have floating around. We're going to talk about how this has been tied to the HARP array, how this has been tied to the arrays that they're using in the outer space. We're going to talk about chemtrails, heavy metals, aluminum, barium, strontium, lithium, sulfur that's being sprayed on us, polymers, including mylar filaments, these things like spider webs that come down, fungi spores. We're going to go into detail on all of this stuff on Morgellons, cross-domain bacteria. It's going to be a show that you don't want to miss. And we're going to go and tell you how that we have given control to the government by voting in these folks. And they have turned around and they've given the control to the military, to the black operations, and all this money is being spent. The military has given this control to this, to the intelligence community. And we've known for years and years and years how satanic the CIA is when they were doing their remote viewing, when they were doing their Stare at Goats program with General Stubblebine, and also we know that they've actually brought witches into the CIA to do seances and try to do clairvoyant services, except they were doing in there. They've given it over to basically the sorcerers who are giving it over to the AI through the Luciferian connection with all of this mess. I'm going to go into detail next Sunday night for one full hour about this. I covered a lot of it on the Hagman Show back in December. And we're going to tell you how they're basically raining down nanoparticulates. High-powered microscopes have to see these things. They're so tiny. It's being done globally. It's being transmitted throughout the jet stream. And we are eating this stuff because it's in all of the food, all of the crops, all of the food. That's why so many trees are dying everywhere. And Dane Whittington talks about this. So we're going to talk about the wireless world and what it's doing to us and how they're trying to plug us into the matrix by using this. I'm going to go into detail on it. and I'm going to try to make it a one-hour talk show, because I told you guys, I usually say that for longer shows, but I think I can put it together in 1 hour. So next Sunday night, if you have any friends that want to know about Morgellons or HARP or chemtrails, I'm going to have the information, I'm going to have the research, I'm going to have the data, and I'm going to have the references if you guys want to tie back together with it, and so we'll be able to do that. And Austin, you've got a bunch of stories that you want to talk about tonight. What do you want to start with, buddy?
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up now is out in Texas, it kind of seemed like they were doing this to be nice, so I started doing a little bit more research on it, and it seems that law enforcement has a little bit more of a sinister plan behind it. As you know, in one of the guiding legal principles in America is, in order for you to be detained for pretty much any reason by an officer, there needs to be some type of probable cause for you to be stopped and held against your will. I got pretty irritated yesterday. The only thing I told you this, Lana was stopping by her parents' house over in Winter Haven, and there was a sheriff, actually, Polk County Sheriff, which they're generally really cool. I was just hanging out with one all weekend out in the woods riding four-wheelers, and he passed Lana coming towards her, spun around, chased her down, pulled her over, and wrote her a citation for window tint. And then told her he didn't even have a meter. He didn't know what the tint was, but he could tell that it was too dark. I have no idea what the tint is on it. We bought it from a dealership. But he didn't even have a, he didn't have a meter. Wrote her up a ticket. She, I mean, my wife's pregnant. She's all hysterical. She's crying. And, pulls her over for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Wasn't speeding. Wasn't driving erratic. So it kind of irritated me a little bit. And I was looking up some different laws on stuff like that with probable cause. And the issue was, originally, when they came out with these ridiculous window tint laws in Florida, which is the sunshine state, unbelievably hot and sunny down here, you have to have window tint on your vehicles. If you don't, the interiors get baked, the car just gets way too hot. That being said, when they first came out with window tint laws back, I think, in the 70s here in Florida, it was stated that, you know, window tint was a secondary offense. So if you got pulled over for speeding and they checked your window tint, then you could be charged a citation if it was too dark. Still ridiculous, but it was a secondary. Now, obviously, from the laws that I brushed up on yesterday, they don't even have to have probable cause. They don't even have to see you doing anything illegal. They can automatically look at you and say, well, the glare's a little low, the light's a little dark, the windows are a little too black, we're just going to pull him over because he has window tint. And that's exactly what they did, and they wrote her a citation for it, which I was extremely irritated about. But now what they're doing in Texas is they're using this under the guise of they want to have better rapport with drivers and give them incentives to drive better. The Daily Sheeple and a local media, police now in Texas, it's in Lakeview, they're actually pulling over motorists to praise them for doing the right things and not breaking laws. So I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. Let's read up on this. And it says, we're conducting a doing it right, safe driving campaign. We look for people wearing their seat belts, obeying the speed limit and traffic laws, Police Chief Dave Hotchkiss says, and recently told a driver and her passenger whom he witnessed breaking no traffic laws, you were doing the right thing, so we're going to give you a Starbucks gift certificate. Well, that may sound like a wonderful trust-building gesture, you know, that's awesome, but you still got pulled over. You still got your license yanked. You still got your tag ran. You still had your insurance and everything checked up on. And so what's interesting is if you're going to pull somebody over to reward them for doing the right thing, why are you pulling them over to run all of their information, which is the same as treating the drivers if they're suspected of doing wrong and they didn't do anything? So what this looks to me is they're trying to use this as a guise just to do random traffic stops now. If they find something like the person's license is suspended or something just minuscule like that, then they're obviously going to arrest them and take them to jail. But if they didn't catch them doing anything, then they spin it and go, oh, well, you're a good driver, so we're going to give you a Starbucks gift card. So I think this has a way, way more sinister backing to it. I don't like it at all. I don't like being pulled over for no reason. I think it's complete violation of the people's rights when they're doing this. What do you think about that, Dad?
Number one, how much was Lana's ticket?
Oh, it's $115.
And, of course, they'll tell you if you take the window tint off the car, you don't have to pay the ticket.
Actually, no, they can't. They don't do that anymore in Florida. Now they still, you still have to pay the entire fine if you take it off or not.
Okay, well, that's just nice. It's, I look at it as a road tax. I don't know why in the world that's not a secondary offense, but that's ridiculous to me, especially stopping a, a pregnant woman. Of course, they didn't know she was pregnant, but it's just kind of sad, actually, that they're doing that. I guess I don't understand that. I'll have to speak to the sheriff about that and find out why that's suddenly something that they're doing. I've not heard of a sheriff doing that. Usually our sheriff, our sheriffs, our deputies are really nice here, and we don't have to put up with a lot of that nonsense. The thing in Texas, that's a little bit more problematic because, number one, they're unlawfully detaining you. I mean, they don't have a right to force you to pull over for doing nothing wrong. That's more like the Germans used to do with the Nazis, and they would walk up to a person who wasn't doing anything wrong, and they'd say, "Papers, please."
Yep.
Papiere bitte. And what happened is they would be like, "Okay, so now I've got to produce all of this evidence that I'm not doing anything wrong, that I'm supposed to be here, but, you know, you have the right to detain me until I can produce my papers, and even if I'm not doing anything wrong." It's going more and more and more into fascism, Austin, and into this Nazi state of East Germany and the Stasi, the secret police, and, of course, Hitler's goons, and he was running around doing this. And all of you who know me, you know I'm not a big fan of Hitler. The only thing that Hitler ever did right was he threw the central banks out of Germany, and when he took over the countries in Europe, which he shouldn't have done with the war, he threw the central banks out of there, and he was able to fight the war debt-free by printing his own currency, and that's how Germany got through the war with no debt. Because he realized that a nation doesn't have to borrow money from the central bankers. And that was one of the biggest reasons he went to war, was because he'd had enough of the central banking community, the Rothschild banking cartel, basically enslaving Europe and enslaving Germany due to the Versailles Treaty and having to pay literally trillions of dollars in today's money back to these nations, you know, on a war that was just a nightmare for everybody. And so that was World War One, and that's why he hated the bankers so much. And basically he said, I was watching one time, it was on PBS, it was the History Channel. It was interesting, he was actually doing a speech at the Nuremberg rallies. And they were huge. Oh, good grief. I mean, there's some of the movies that these propagandists did back then, the cinematography was unbelievably well done. And what was interesting about this is he was doing this speech, and he said, if the international banking community insists on doing this, we will drive them out of Germany and we will basically get rid of them. And that's one of the main reasons that he hated the bank so much. And to the bankers' demise, a lot of them were Jewish. And that, he kind of just carried that whole nonsense right over to the Jews. It was a disaster in Germany, but it all started because of his hatred of the Versailles Treaty, his hatred of what happened in World War One. You remember, Germany never lost World War One. Everybody needs to understand that they signed an armistice. You got to go back and look at history. It was a ceasefire, is all it was. There were no troops in Germany at the end of World War One. They were pretty much, Russia was out of it because of the Bolshevik Revolution. They were all pretty much in France. And what happened is Germany pulled back after it signed the armistice, went back to its borders, and one of the things that had to do with the armistice that it signed, it had to disband its military. Well, then several months later, they decided to put the Versailles Treaty together, and then Germany had no input into it. They came there and basically said, you have to sign this, it's an unconditional surrender, and you have to pay all these war reparations, which, like I said, in today's dollars would be in the trillions. And Germany simply couldn't do it, and that caused the seeds to be planted for World War II. Huge disaster, but you cannot understand World War II unless you go to World War I. But the point is, Austin's exactly right. When Hitler took over, the guy was like he was just a barbarian. He suspended the Constitution. He used what he called the Enabling Act, which is our Patriot Act, to basically declare martial law, and all the rights of the people were gone. All the local governments were basically answering directly into a centralized system through Berlin. It was a major, major mess. It was fascism combined with, you know, with corporations on steroids is what it was. And remember this, George Bush Sr., his father, Prescott Bush, liked the Nazi model so much, because remember, Hitler was Man of the Year with Time Magazine. People don't get that. Hitler was like a rock star back in the 30s before he went berserkoid and started bombing and shooting everybody because of what he did and how he turned the economy around in Germany. And Hitler was good friends with Prescott Bush, and the Bush family was over there financing a lot of the Nazis and what was going on with, you know, the expansion of Hitler's Nazi Germany, you know, is what they were doing. And Prescott Bush liked the model so much that he enlisted the war general Smedley Butler, the most decorated war hero from World War One. Remember, this is like 14 years earlier, the war was over with World War One. He enlisted him to stage a coup of the United States of America against Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933. And when that happened, Smedley Butler, who was a patriot, came forward and did congressional hearings about this, and then George Bush's father, Prescott Bush, was charged and indicted under Trading with the Enemies Act. So this is a major thing that's been going on for years and years and years. That's why if you go back to the video, JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It talks about all of that. Everybody needs to watch that. But see, when I see people getting pulled over, Austin, in Texas for absolutely nothing and being detained, and then they take an hour or 20 minutes or 15 minutes of their time and they give them a Starbucks certificate, what if they don't drink coffee? I mean, how about if you got a meeting you have to go to on a business deal and you lose the whole business deal, or you're late, or you miss an airplane flight because they want to give you a happiness check? I mean, that's dumb, Austin. That's ridiculous. But let me read you this. This is an interesting article. It came in. It's on Gardasil. And this is a Merck's former doctor predicts that Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all time. Dr. Dahlberg, a former part of pharmaceutical industry physician with Gardasil manufacturer Merck, was interviewed in the French magazine Principles de Santé. And he goes into detail and he says the full extent of the Gardasil scandal needs to be assessed. Everyone knew when this vaccine was released on the American market it would be worthless. Diane Harper, a major opinion leader in the United States, was one of the first to blow the whistle, pointing out the fraud and the scam of it all. Gardasil is useless and it costs a fortune. In addition, decision makers at all levels are aware of it. Cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis of the lower limbs, vaccine-induced multiple sclerosis, and vaccine-induced encephalitis can be found whatever the vaccine. Then he goes on to say, I predict the Gardasil will become the greatest medical scandal of all times because at some point in time, the evidence will add up to prove that this vaccine, technical and scientific feat that it may be, has absolutely no effect on cervical cancer, and that all of the very many adverse effects which destroy lives and even kill serve no other purpose than to generate profit for the manufacturers. Wow.
Ooh, wow. Buddy.
Then he says, there is far too much financial interest for these medications to be withdrawn. This is one of the top guys in the production of it and used to work for Merck, and this is what he's calling out. So guys, girls, ladies, hey, I'm telling you guys, this is no good. Here's the rest of the article. It goes on and says, the aluminum adjuvant is very problematic, as shown by scientists Chris Shaw and Lucia Tomovec from the University of British Columbia, and Professor Audier and Gertari from the Hospital Henri Mentor, all present at the conference. The aluminum that is used in the Gardasil vaccine, by the way, it's used in almost all vaccines now, migrates into the body and reaches the brain where it accumulates. There are many adverse effects noted: death, convulsions, syncope, Guillain-Barré syndrome, transverse myelitis, facial paralysis, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune diseases, pulmonary embolisms, myofasciitis, macrophages, and pancreatitis. I mean, unbelievable what this stuff does. And he's also talking here about the macrophages and how they lose the ability to use vitamin D. So this Gardasil thing is a nightmare, Austin, and it should never ever have been approved for anybody. I wouldn't even give this thing to a dog. This thing is bad news, and it needs to be completely pulled back off the market, period.
Oh, yeah, you're spot on. I mean, remember, I've been going on article after article for the last couple of months since we started our show about all these different cases of women that, you know, or girls that had all these severe reactions to it. And I mean, even you pull it up on the CDC, they try to, you know, dress everything down to make it not seem as severe. And it's still, even the actual reports that they try and push down are still so severe. And it's out of control. You're absolutely right. I mean, that is probably going to go down as one of the biggest scams of vaccines of all time. It doesn't do anything. All it does is make people incredibly sick. It's got these severe side effects. Some of them don't even show up until years down the road. And we still don't even know how bad the side effects are going to be as far as infertility later on down the road, because the compound's only been on the market, I think, since 2006. So it's only been out for, 9 years total? So, I mean, a lot of the girls that got it 11, 12 years of age are only, you know, 21 now. So, I mean, we're going to see a whole I don't want to be right about this, but I have a feeling we're going to start seeing a whole plethora of infertility problems in those groups of girls that may not have had immediate side effects from the Gardasil vaccine, but much, much worse long-term fertility problems in the future.
Well, it's interesting because the thialamide problem that they had back in the 50s with all these children that were born in the 50s and the 60s with shortened arms and limbs and legs and no hands and no fingers, they realized the thialamide was doing that, and they pulled it off the market. There was another one, oh gosh, let me remember what it was. I'll do it on your next, when you take over the next story, Austin, I'll look it up real quick. But Sharon had, Sharon's mom had been given that. And also my mom had given that. And what it did, it caused a huge increase of infertility in women who had been given that drug to their daughters. And it was amazing. I remember we were in this in vitro clinic one time with Sharon, and I remember it was crazy because I literally asked, you know, how many people received this, their mothers received this injection when they were pregnant. And every single person, there were like 20 women in there, every single person, 100% of the test group that I asked that day, mothers had received this injection. And the sad part about it, it was used to prevent miscarriages back in the 50s and in the 60s, and it caused a major problem with infertility, ovarian cancer, and cancer of the testicles in the children that were given this, their mothers were given this. Again, it's all part of the epigenetics protocol that we talked about earlier, how your mother's diet, your grandmother's diet, how your great-grandmother's diet affects DNA through epigenetics. And that stuff has been proven repeatedly, and we've talked about it on many, many shows, particularly with Hagman back in the last year or so. So if you guys want to hear some of those archives, go ahead and listen to them. But the sad part about all of this stuff is, Austin, now the woman's body was sacrosanct when she was pregnant. Now they don't care anymore. Now they want to take flu shots with all this aluminum, all of this stuff. Because remember, Bill Gates said it. One of the primary ways they're going to reduce the population of the planet is through immunizations. He called it out. He said it on a TED's talk. I mean, you can watch him and you can say it. Look it up on YouTube. You can see it on Google. You can Google YouTube and you'll see him saying it. Vaccines are unbelievably bad for you in excess. Now, if they had a clean vaccine, which I've never seen, didn't have all these adjuvants and everything else in it, which is maybe what the globalists take, I don't know. I mean, that might be okay in moderation if you were in a high-risk area, but if you've got an area that you have absolutely no diseases that are prevalent in those areas anymore, like in the United States, because of cleanliness, proper hygiene, and proper sanitation, there is no reason to expose these children to 67 different vaccinations by the time they're 12 years old. I mean, it's insanity, Austin. It really is. What's your next story?
Next one is
I just remembered it. Diethylstilbestrol. DES. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's called DES. That's what these women were given back in the 50s. I knew it would come back to me in a second. As soon as I gave it to you, it came back to me. Sorry, Austin. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, basically, Taiwan has made some pretty substantial GMO bans last year, and now they're really going into effect. Nearly a year ago, Taiwan passed the Food Act amendments, which I really wish the United States would start following this. This was federal mandated by the Taiwan government. Basically, it was a remarkable food safety milestone that the U.S. government really needs to implement and needs to take some notes on. One of the first ones on there was it requires the mandatory labeling of all GMOs on all food products that contain at least 3% or more GMOs. Foods that use no GMOs must be labeled non-GMO, and this has been so popular now in just the last year, imports of pure non-GMO soybeans to Taiwan grew nearly 300% to over 58,000 tons last year. A few other ones on there, they limit the use of food additives to just 799 compounds approved by the Taiwan FDA, which if you've done any research, the FDA in the United States, by comparison, I think allows somewhere around 22,000 additive chemicals to be used, which a lot of them are well known to be directly caused to cancer, yet they're still allowed. On top of that, like I said, all the GMO ingredients are required to be registered with the government. Everything has to be labeled as GMO. And to make it even better, fines for violating these food safety provisions have been set at $50 million. So they're really serious about cleaning up the food in Taiwan, and they're not playing any games with it. This is a very, very, very good, in my opinion. Also, and on top of that, that's what the next thing I was going to say. The Taiwan has also now banned all GMO food from all school menus. This happened just earlier this year. The latest amendment to the School Health Act are aimed at all school meal providers to ban all genetically modified ingredients and any processed foods that contain genetically modified ingredients from school menus. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, no, the reality is other countries are waking up. The problem what we have here is we've got a group of globalists that are primarily Satanists. I'm just calling it out. We're going to really talk about this next Sunday night. So if you guys don't want to believe that or don't want to hear that, I'm going to prove all that to you next week. these people are Luciferians. They actually trace their lineage back to the sun. They call themselves the sons of the fallen, and they trace their lineage all the way back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel, and they consider themselves to be the spawn of Satan, the sons of the fallen angels. And they go all the way back. These people, whether you believe it or not, these guys really believe it, and they're willing to die for it. And you can watch a show by Brad Metzler. It's called Spear of Destiny. You can watch it on YouTube for free. It's called Brad Metzler, I think it was Decoded or something like that, The Spear of Destiny. And you can watch this entire video on the Spear of Destiny, which was the spear that went into Jesus' side to pierce him and kill him, before, to make sure he was dead on the cross. And because he had already died, but they wanted to make sure he was. And that's called the Spear of Destiny. And it goes into the whole theory and what happened to the Spear of Destiny. And the guys who were controlling the spear now, according to that show with Brad, are the sons of the fallen. They think they were called the Benign Nephilim. And that's what they believe. They believe that. They go all the way back, and they've been controlling a lot of the world politics. And again, it goes back to the fallen angels. And I've told you guys this 100 times. If you don't remember what happened in Genesis chapter 6, if you've never been taught that, you need to get it listed. Go watch Chuck Missler on YouTube, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, one of the best teachers I've ever seen on Genesis chapter 6. Listen to his videos on there, and you'll learn a lot about what happened with the fallen angels. And also, you can read the book of Enoch. Okay, I want to read you this real quick, Austin. This is diethylstilbestrol. It was banned by the Food and Drug Administration. It was banned by the government to be used in pregnant women back in the 60s. But listen to this. DES gained notoriety when it was shown to cause a rare vaginal tumor in girls and young women who had been exposed to the drug in utero. In 1971, the New England Journal of Medicine published a report showing that 7 of 8 girls and young women ages 14 to 22 who had been diagnosed with vaginal clear cell adenocarcinoma had been exposed prenatally to DES. And also it causes ovarian cancer. 7 out of 8 girls, Austin, who had gotten this vaginal cancer had DES given to their mother when they were pregnant. Now listen to this. I remember I was doing this off of memory from a second ago. Here's the DES sons. Initially, fewer studies documented risks of prenatal exposure of DES or diethylstilbestrol to males. In the 1970s and early 80s, studies published on prenatally DES-exposed males invested increased risks of testicular cancer, infertility, urogenital abnormalities, and development. Okay, such research published in the U.S. by Palmer further confirmed evidence of these findings. I mean, this is crazy. This is one of the big reasons we have so many people right now in the United States that are infertile. This is why this happened. And why their children are infertile. This is what happened to them, because it was used from 1940 to 1971, and then it was basically banned because it was shown conclusively to prove this. But it was used for 30 years. And so now what's happened is these women who were born like in 1971 who had mothers had used it, which is now that would make them, 30, 45, so they're out of childbearing age anyhow. These were the entire generation of all of these women that spawned the entire in vitro culture in the United States back in the 80s and in the 90s, these test tube babies where they are, that because they could not get pregnant because of this drug they had been given. And these sons have these testicular problems in which they cannot produce active sperm. We've had a 90% reduction of sperm rates in the United States in men since the 1940s and 50s. I believe DES is a big part of that. And so it's a major, major problem. So that's why when I say to you guys, there are certain chemicals and drugs you really need to avoid. You need to avoid them. By the way, tonight's show is almost, we're halfway through the show, is being brought to you by healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com, finest, highest quality nutritional supplements in the world. We basically are open 5 days a week, 9 to 5 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. You can give us a call, 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, or healthmasters.com. We have a free newsletter you can sign up for, and I go into detail in a lot of these topics like this, and I give you book, chapter, and verse, so to speak, as far as the research, where the research comes from, who said the research, and I document everything. But guys, on diethylstilbestrol, go to Wikipedia. If you want to learn about Gwen Towers, you can go to Wikipedia. If you want to learn about sea-based radar domes, you can go to Wikipedia. All of this stuff is in the public knowledge now. The problem is the globalists figured out now, because of the global dumbing down program they've done, that no one knows what's going on because nobody wants to read anymore. That's the biggest problem. I know in Europe, everybody knows in Europe and all over the world what chemtrails are. They know they're being sprayed on us for military purposes and other things we'll talk about next week. They already know that. Only in America do they not know. because we literally have a news blackout on things like this because we're not allowed to know about this because we're the ones that are primarily doing it and we're the ones paying for it, and it's through our black ops, through the CIA. We're going to cover all of that next Sunday night. Here's another interesting article. A patent has now been issued for nervous system manipulation by electromagnetic fields from monitors and TVs. Computers, monitors, and TV monitors can be made to emit weak, low-frequency electromagnetic fields merely by pulsing the intensity of displayed images. Experiments have shown that the 1/2 Hz sensory resonance can be excited in this manner in a subject near the monitor. The 2.4 Hz sensory resonance can also be excited in such fashion. Hence, a TV monitor or computer monitor can be used to manipulate the central nervous system of people who are standing nearby to it. Certain motors can emit electromagnetic field pulses that excite sensory resonance in a nearby subject through image pulses that are so weak as to be subliminal. This is unfortunate since it opens a way for mischievous application of this invention whereby people are exposed unknowingly to manipulation of their nervous system for someone else's purposes. Such application will be unethical and, of course, is not advocated, but it's however being used. I mean, this is crazy what's going on. Now they're actually giving a patent for this stuff, and of course this is what they do. This is one of the reasons they wanted to use the LED high-definition TVs, because it goes into you and puts you in alpha brainwave state more quickly. They're tying us into this matrix, into this energetic field that's all over this planet now, and they're doing it on purpose. They're hooking us up into the matrix through the stuff they're spraying on us. I'm explaining that in detail next Sunday night. Sorry, we don't have time to cover it tonight. It would take an entire hour. Austin, what's your next show? What's your next story, buddy?
I'm glad you brought that up, though, because remember I told you a few weeks ago, Lan and I, you know, we've been doing more research on stuff since we're about to have a baby in April. And one of the things that we both looked at and we started doing research were the baby monitors and the visual camera monitors and the regular baby monitors in general. And more research now, like you just said, is starting to come out that they really, really affect all kinds of different in development, brain waves, everything with that, with the frequency they put off, the same way Wi-Fi does everything else. You got to understand, these babies are super small. They've just been born, and then you're putting a big old, you know, wireless TV right beside them with a baby monitor all day when they're sleeping. And that's just, it's not a healthy thing. If you have a specific reason you need to have one in there for a short period of time to check on them for a health standpoint or if something's going on, I got that. But these people that just want to leave them in there all day, every day, and just have them on all the time, I really don't think it's a healthy idea the more and more that I've read about it now. And one thing I did want to say, too, about, you know, Monsanto and the vaccines as well is, you know, everybody, if anybody's even interested in that or, you know, one way or another, you also need to look at what our presidential election lineup's looking like again. I mean, you know, we know Hillary Clinton is super pro-vaccine. She's got super close ties to Monsanto. They give her a ton of money. She's a huge supporter of them. Ted Cruz hasn't said anything negative about GMOs, and I would hesitate. I don't know 100%, but I'm pretty certain that he's gotten some type of lobbying money from them. And the only person that I know of that has come out blatantly now and put down vaccines and GMO foods has been the Donald Trump. He's a huge promoter of organic food, and quite frankly, he can't be bought by Monsanto. He doesn't need their money. So just giving you guys a little bit of information, I thought I would just throw that out there if you wanted to know that.
I got an article just the other day about the Donald, and what it said was, you know, it's kind of like he's the best horse at the glue factory, you know? I mean, I'm not saying the Donald's perfect, but the Donald, at least he's talking about immunizations and he's talking about GMOs and he's talking about gun rights. I mean, at least he's talking the talk. I mean, my goodness. I mean, I'm not saying the guy's going to win. I'm not even saying the guy's perfect. But who would you rather have, the Donald or Hillary? At least if the Donald's in there, we know we'll be entertained for eight years. I mean, at least it won't be a boring thing. And at least he's fun to listen to. I mean, I can't even listen to Barack Obama. I mean, if the guy doesn't have a teleprompter, he stumbles all over himself. I mean, he has to be given a script to read, for heaven's sakes. And the Donald doesn't do that. I mean, Donald doesn't use teleprompters, especially in the debates. And when you see these town hall meetings with Barack and he's talking without teleprompters, he sounds like, how in the world did this guy go through law school? I don't even understand how he got through there. You know, they said, I think they said he was the editor of the Harvard Law Review. Don't quote me on, but I think he said something like that. Are you kidding me?
Something
really?
Like that, yeah.
I mean, really? This guy's that articulate? He's that good of a speaker? Well, he's a good speaker on teleprompter. I'll give him that. But, you know, teleprompters are, you know, I've done a lot of that before when I'm doing TV shoots. I remember years ago, Pastor Rod Parsley, I remember when I first met him, oh gosh, I met him at Daystar TV like 13, 14 years ago, and he heard me, I was on with Dr. Contreras, the cancer specialist, and we were doing a show on our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, and about how to lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. We have a DVD series and CD series to do all that with. They're like a home study course, and we were promoting that on Daystar. And I was there with Dr. Contreras, and I remember Rod Parsley walked up to me, and I'd never met the guy, but he's a big-time TV evangelist. You've never heard of him. He's got throat cancer right now, bless his heart, so I'm not even sure how he's doing. Probably not very well, or he'll be back on TV. I'm not sure if he's back on yet or not. And I like the guy, so I don't want to say anything bad about him, because I have nothing bad to say about him, because I met him about 14 years ago, and he walked up to me after the show, and he goes, wow, that was really fascinating. Can I get some more information on that? I said, sure. So I gave him one of my books, and I wrote my phone numbers in it, and I said, I'd love to be on your show, love to do a broadcast with you, let me know if you'd like to do something. I said, okay. And so for about 4 or 5 months went by, I didn't hear from the guy. I thought, you know, whatever, I hope the guy read the book. Well, then I find that he read the book on his plane going back to Columbus, Ohio, where he's based out of, and he called his head guy named John called me up, John Laria called me up, that was, he doesn't work for them anymore, but he was there then. He called me up and he goes, Ted, we want to do a TV show with you. And I said, okay, I'd love to do a show with Rod. I can help his audience, and you know, we can promote the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. And he goes, okay, great. So we came up. It was so funny. I flew up there to do the show, and I get in the back room, and this guy walks out to me, and he hands me a script. And I, Austin, I don't know if you even know this. He yeah. hands me a script, and I said, what's this? He goes, it's your script. I said, script for what? He goes, for the TV show you're going to do with Rod. And I said, you've written out the show for me. He goes, yeah, I've got the whole show written out. We want you to read the teleprompter and do the script. And I just started laughing. And I said, dude, I've done thousands of shows, thousands of TV and radio shows. This is before we started doing our own show. And I said, as I was a guest, and I said, I don't need a, to do an old common Polk County vernacular, I don't need no stinking script, right? And it was so funny. I said, I don't need to use a script that's going to stymie the show. It won't be as good if I see script me. And so Rod comes walking in, and he goes, have you looked at the script? I started laughing. I said, script? I said, are you and I really going to use a script? And he goes, no, we're not going to do a script, Ted. We're going to do this thing straight off the cuff. And I said, all right. But they were going to have me do an entire teleprompter presentation for a 30-minute TV show with Rod, and they had written the entire program out for me. and this is true. And I told him, no, thank you. And then, of course, he ran the show, and it was able to generate a lot of money for his ministry and help a lot of people. And he lost 37 pounds from the time I met him at Daystar TV till I saw him again in Columbus. And he had dropped 14 inches in his waist. His cholesterol was over 600. It was around 180, 190 when I saw him. And his triglycerides were over 1,000, and they were normal. And he could not believe the energy and how good he felt. And so that's amazing that he was able to do all of that on our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. And he did it within just a matter of a few months, because he told me, he said, Ted, he said, they want to put me on all these drugs, these cholesterol drugs. And he said, I don't want to take them. And I said, well, you really don't want to take them, because statin drugs cause a plethora of problems. And I talked about statin drugs and their side effects in my last book, Breakthrough Health. A lot of you already got a copy of that book. But Rod was doing great when he was on my program 14 years ago. And then over a period of time, he gradually got back to his old way of eating and habits and everything else. But the sad part about it is, I personally believe, had he continued to stay on that super healthy program, he never had any more problems with his health. I really believe that with all of my heart. I remember his mother had gone in for a bypass surgery, and then he gave the protocol for the healthy heart that she was using to her cardiovascular surgeon, Austin, and the cardiovascular surgeon said, Mrs. Parsley, if you had been on this program to start with, I never would have had to do surgery on you. You never would have had a problem with your arteries being congested and having to be cleaned out and being replaced around your heart. See, that's the thing that we need to talk to people about more often, Austin, because the truth is, if you guys are listening today, you know, there's a lot of natural things that you can do to increase your energy levels and to feel great every single day of the year, but you got to learn the healthy way of doing things, like no GMOs. You got to stay away from the flu shot and all these other horrible vaccines. You've got to stay away from statin drugs. Now, if you're taking prescription drugs right now, don't stop taking them, because I told you to. Go to your doctor and find natural treatment protocols, or order my Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. It's on the Body by Ted BodyByTed.com website, the BodyByTed.com website. There's a picture of me with a bunch of famous people that I used to do seminars with on that website. And what you can do is you can order that program and say to the doctor, hey, doc, I want to try a natural approach to lower cholesterol without using these statin drugs, which cause kidney failure, they cause heart failure, they cause cancer. All statin drugs have one common side effect. They all cause them. They all cause cancer. These are all the statin drugs you use to lower cholesterol. You don't need them. I've got another friend of mine that came over today. He brought, his name's Mike Florendino, and like Mike likes me talking about him on the show. He always gives me permission to do so. Great friend of mine. He brought me in his cholesterol. His cholesterol's doing great. He's on my program. His cholesterol's doing great. He feels great. He's lost 35 pounds. The thing about it is that we've got to realize if we eat the right foods, we do the right thing, and we drink the right water, we stay away from fluorides and chlorine and all these bromines and all these halogens in our diet, we get away from this fluoride water also, we can feel really good every single day and have tremendous energy. But you can't do it eating junk every day, Austin. It's impossible, son. And you can't maintain your health doing it. And people, and more people are starting to demand. They know what they're eating. They want to know what the GMOs are eating. Remember that old movie, The Outlaw Josie Wales? You and I used to watch that all the time when you were a kid. Remember they had that sales guy who was selling like a snake oil elixir.
Yep.
He was trying to sell it. Remember? And an old Indian walked up to him, and he's selling the snake oil, and he goes, you'll like this. You savages, you like to do things like this. You'll like this. And the guy says to him, he goes, what's in it? The savage, the Indian guy says, what's in it? And by the way, he wasn't a savage. He's a really a nice guy on the movie. And he goes, what's in it? He goes, well, I don't know. I'm just a salesperson. I just sell it. He goes, well, if you don't know what's in it, I don't know what's in it. You drink it. I'm not putting it in my body. I mean, think about that. If you don't know what's in it, why are you putting it in your body? It's not healthy for you. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, that's why I always tell people, you know, a lot of the people I work with on the phone and regular customers and stuff, I tell them, I said, you know, you have to start reading labels. You have to start looking and doing research at the food you're eating. It's really not that difficult. All you have to do is start doing just some proactive research and really figuring out what you're putting in your body. And once you start doing it on a regular basis, it actually becomes habit. It's normal. You start eating healthier and healthier and healthier, and you realize that you start feeling better and better and better. And you stop eating all the old stuff from your old ways, and you start seeing much, much more positive results in every aspect of your life and in health. And so it gives you almost more of an encouragement to eat even healthier. And that's what I tell people. I say, you don't have to sit there and go crazy all of a sudden, you know, just change everything right this second, but start looking at stuff, you know, making sure that the food doesn't contain MSG. Quite frankly, I tell people now, if you're looking at stuff that has ingredients on, if it's prepackaged, canned, anything like that, you need to be looking at stuff with the shortest ingredient list. And if there's anything in there that you can't pronounce, you probably don't need to be eating it. That's just flat out truth.
That's true also, because in our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, which we've sold so many of those, this program's been around for like 25 years, right? It's been all around. It's been time protested. And let me tell you how I put it together. I was a state licensed nutritionist back in the 80s in Florida. I let that license lapse because I didn't have time to do everything. I was seeing up to 40 patients a day in my office. And basically I was helping them lower blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. And I started finding out that there were certain foods that people were eating that were causing almost all of the major problems. That's where the top 10 foods list never to eat came from. In addition to that, I started to realize there were certain lifestyle changes, the things they had to do in order to change their behavioral patterns in order to start eating healthier. That's why we put together the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. It was used from a clinical standpoint in the office to try to help people through a six-week process of lowering their blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar levels. And again, that program is available on the BodyByTed.com website. I don't really talk about that program much because a lot of people don't want CDs or DVDs anymore. They want to get everything digitally downloaded. But this is still available on CD. I think we've got, 25 or 35 sets of this stuff left. We don't have very many of them left. And when they get done, I won't promote them anymore because they'll be gone. But they're still available for those of you who really want to have that type of information and do it. Here's another article from Erin Brockovich. She is saying the biotech... This Erin Brockovich is the one that Julie... what's her name? That one actress... I don't know her name. But She made Erin famous on that one thing about the poison to water in that one area where people come down with cancer. And Erin Brockovich is now saying the biotech industry is jeopardizing our health because of GMOs. The new movie, Consumed, tackles the controversial world of genetically modified organisms in unprecedented fashion, offering insight into their risks. Its message could not be more timely in that the wake of the recent news that the FDA has approved the first genetically engineered salmon for human consumption. The fish, like all genetically engineered ingredients in this country, will not be labeled. So if you see a piece of salmon laying there that weighs 25 pounds, don't buy it. Leaving American consumers in the dark, like many food and environmental safety activists around the world, this author says, I am outraged. The biotech industry and the FDA have hijacked not only our basic rights as consumers, but also our fundamental human rights in the face of corporate monopolization of our food supply. They are jeopardizing our health and the environment more than ever before. When will this government agency be put into place to stop to protect us from the servicing the bottom line of corporations? I mean, and it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. And we need to realize that we're eating all this poison that's changing us genetically. And I'm going to talk about how this ties in to what they're doing with the Morgellons bacteria and the other things they're doing to change us. Because remember, I did a show a few weeks ago, Austin, with you. And I read that article out of Russia, and I'm going to bring that back on again next week, about how now they can change DNA, and they don't have to splice the DNA anymore. They can hit it with a specific frequency, and they can actually turn a frog like into a salamander and change things around by hitting it with the right frequency and never splicing the genes anymore. Splicing genes is becoming old technology. This was all developed by the Russians. That's what they're doing. So what they just told us is if they hit us at the right frequency, they can change our DNA, Austin, and they can change us from an epigenetic standpoint. And we'll probably be the last group of people on this planet, the ones that are currently born and have been, you know, they're like me or whatever, and the ones being born now, that have not been changed genetically. This is all being done by the globalists. I'm going to explain it why next Sunday night. And so, well, what's your next story, Austin?
Well, this was pretty interesting. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I talked about how in New York City they can actually fine business owners and whatnot up to $250,000 for intentionally offending a transgender, which is just outlandish. Well, the Washington State Human Rights Commission, a regulatory agency, has been empowered by the Washington State Legislature to draft legally binding rules for businesses to prevent discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender expression, and they have now released their final ruling. Among multiple other very weird rules on it, one rule makes it illegal to ask unwelcome personal questions about an individual's sexual orientation, expression, identity, or transgender status. In essence, what it basically it says is in detail, if you're a woman and a man that thinks he's a woman walks into your locker room or bathroom and starts undressing in front of you, it's now illegal for you to ask him what he's doing there, much less ask him to leave. If you're basically in not comfortable in the situation, you're supposed to leave the locker room now.
Your mom has a black belt in karate. And she won the U.S. Open in weapons competition back in the 90s, first place in the world. We have the trophy here at the house in the U.S. Open International Martial Arts Competition. This is Sharon's mom, my wife, Sharon. I don't make her mad because I really don't really want to get into an argument with her. She's really just, but she hasn't been, she retired from karate years ago. But I can honestly say to you, if a man dressed like a woman walked into a locker room where she was getting changed, she would probably knock him out or try to because she wouldn't believe it, especially if his appendage falls out of his pants while he's walking around in there. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that, Austin. I don't even understand any of that. To me, that doesn't make any sense. I don't even understand. I don't even know. I'm too old. I know I hate saying that about myself because I feel really young, but I'm just from a different era. Remember, my father was born in 1901. If my father was still alive today, oh my gosh, would he be 115 years old? My dad, not my great-great-grandfather, my father. Okay, so I was raised with a whole different culture here. Okay, I guess that's why I raised you guys so conservatively, okay? Because I don't understand any of this, how men can walk into a women's bathroom and basically, you know, I don't know what they're doing, Austin, about me, but I don't really understand why women can't ask. And now if they ask them, hey, are you a guy? What are you doing in here? They get fined? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying, yeah. And it also applies to schools. the schools as well. In the bill in here, so it states also, basically, if a first grade teacher encounters a boy who one day suddenly declares...
Austin, is this a joke?
No, this is serious. This is for real. This is in Washington State. But now it says basically if a first grade teacher encounters a boy who one day suddenly declares he is a girl, the teacher must now refer to him as a she at the risk of being fined and or fired.
I don't know.
I wish I was making it up.
Well, again, look at our culture, okay? I'm just going to do something here real quick. I'm going to meddle for just a second, and hopefully people don't get mad at me here. And I've already had enough of that in the last few weeks. Let me go ahead and say something here. This is kind of just interesting to me. You know, remember this last season of The Voice? You know, there was a guy on there, and every once in a while, I get stuck watching shows on TV because my 13-year-old daughter likes to watch these singing shows, and she's a great singer. You can listen to her sing "Silent Night, Holy Night" in German on YouTube. And she has like over 10,000 views on it, and she sings the entire song in German, which I taught her how to do that. But last month on the show, The Voice, there was a guy in there. Now, this is my opinion. Let me make this clear. This is my opinion. This is not something that I know happened, okay? This is my opinion. So we qualify that. But there was a guy on there, and he basically, they said that he was like Elvis. And I don't know, I don't remember his name, but he did one song. It was "I'm Gonna Get a New Girlfriend," and he moved like Elvis, he walked like Elvis, he danced like Elvis, and he was by far the best entertainer there. And all of a sudden, he gets booted out on the top four. He's not even going to make the top four. And the guy who won the top four, the guy who won the show, he had an incredible voice. Now, he probably was the best singer there, but he wasn't the best entertainer there. The Elvis guy was the best entertainer. And, of course, his name wasn't Elvis. I'm just calling him that. But the problem was, this Elvis guy, he kind of like was like a Tom Jones, Elvis, Frank Sinatra, okay? This real macho kind of guy. Phenomenal singer. Phenomenal just showman, right? And also, he didn't even make the top four. And the guy who wins the competition, though he was an excellent singer, he was very effeminate. And I told Sharon, she said, "Why do you think that happened?" And I said, "This is just my opinion." And I said, "But remember what they're going for. Look at Miley Cyrus. Look what they're doing now with all of these different girls that were so young with Disney and how they've twisted them up and made them such a mess. I mean, look at this stuff that's going on." I said, "They have a narrative. They've got a goal. It's all about changing society. And they don't want to bring back somebody who runs and talks and acts like Elvis, who's a macho guy, because that's not the narrative. They want guys to be able to walk into the bathroom with women."
Yep.
If I'm wrong, you tell me, Austin, but that's what I think happened. That's my own opinion of what happened with that show. Now, Dave Hodges is going to be on right after me. Dave's a good friend of mine. He's just, I mean, great man. I like him and Hagman are great people. I mean, I helped Dave with his joints. I helped Hagman with his blood sugar. So you guys, listen to Dave. He's on next. My audience, please stay with him for this next show. He's phenomenal. He does a great job. Him and Katie both, they're good friends. And so we love you guys. We appreciate you guys. We're going to be live again on Monday. And we just want you to know that thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're doing the best we possibly can as a father and son team, just trying to get the word out there and tell people the truth about what's really, really happening. But guys, don't let these transhumanists be involved in your life. Don't let these guys tell you it's okay to do these weird things, because it's not. If you're young and you're listening, follow the Bible. Listen to the Word of God. Let that be your template. Read through the Bible. I've read the New Testament hundreds of times. I've read through the entire Bible multiple times. Learn the Word of God. Understand that God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he tells you how to live. He tells you how to eat. He tells you how to do everything in his word. I appreciate you guys. I thank you. It's so good to be with you this new year. And we will talk to you guys on Monday. Austin, you want to say anything else?
You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from 3 to 4.
Love you guys. Thanks, guys. Good night.